broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Buckingham Palace says doctors discovered King Charles's cancer following recent treatment for his enlarged prostate. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
They said that subsequent diagnostic tests have identified that as a form of cancer. He will continue, though, with his state duties, but he will step back from public engagement.
Heavy rains will continue through tomorrow in California, where several regions are already reporting widespread storm damage. CBS's Elise Preston's in Ventura County.
In Southern California, flooding washed out streets, forcing police to shut down roads in Ventura. The extreme flooding even has Los Angeles on high alert.
And jurors in Michigan are deliberating Jennifer Crumley's fate for a mass shooting her son carried out in 2021. CBS's Elaine Quijano.
The prosecution saying she was not attentive and she missed red flags, prosecutors say, that could have potentially stopped the shooting.
Four students died that day. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The average price of gas in Wisconsin has gone up by a little more than a nickel since last week. Gas Buddy's weekly report says the statewide average of a gallon of regular fuel is about $2.78. It was about $2.73 last week. Prices may dip a bit as refineries unload their stocks of winter blends before the cost goes back up again. President Biden has some competition for Wisconsin Democratic primary voters in April. The state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to be on the ballot. Phillips says democracy works best when voters have choices.
I believe democracy requires competition. It makes everything better. American voters deserve choices. 70% of American voters don't want Donald Trump or Joe Biden.
Phillips on Upfront on WYSN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The first Special Olympics polar plunge of the season was a huge success in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday. A crew from Enbridge cut the hole in the ice by Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. There were many teams and individuals who took the icy plunge to raise money for a good cause. The Wood County Sheriff's team raised almost $11,000 for Special Olympics. You have several opportunities to participate as plunges take place across the state on Saturdays through March 31st. Rockfest has announced their 2024 lineup. Taking place in mid-July in Cadott, you can expect to see headliners Jelly Roll, Shinedown, and 30 Seconds to Mars. The fest runs from Wednesday, July 17th to Saturday, July 20th. One-day general admission is $89, and the entire fest pass is on sale now for $149. The concert has been taking place since 94 and has grown from under 4,000 to over 30,000 today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin loses to Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers losing 75-69 before a nationally televised audience. That's back-to-back losses now. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think the losing a game always gets your attention more, but I don't think there's anything that we have seen transpire in the last two games that we hadn't talked about before, and it's masqueraded by winning.
NBA, the Bucks came up short in Utah. Final score 123-108. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about Damian Lillard, who appeared to be playing despite an injury.
Yeah. No, we think he's okay, but he was struggling all game with the ankle.
The Bucks road trip continues tomorrow night in Phoenix. And the teams for Super Bowl 58 have arrived in Las Vegas, and already the trash talk is underway. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa asked about the Chiefs right guard Trey Smith and right tackle Juwan Taylor.
Taylor and Smith leads the NFL. Ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch them?
They hold a lot.
That's the 49ers' Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us. So we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 49.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this February 5th, 2024, 3:04 on the clock, got your host James J. Mailoff behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sound, pitch hitting today for Randy Paul, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm going to start giving you like intro music, like we do with baseball players where they got the intro. Like I'm going to have the music coming.
I already know which one I want.
You pick it out, you get it out there.
Yeah. Get my walk-up music. Yeah, that's what I need.
Music. Yeah. We got to get everybody walk-up music joins us on the air here. Thank you so much to the best listeners and radio for joining us. This is your chance to call in and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, everybody. 715-424-2600. You're listening to us on the Civic Media app. Go ahead and just push it 1-2 touches and you are right to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate everybody downloading that app.
Yes.
We got plenty to talk about today. It is Super Bowl week. Seth and I in spirit are in Vegas. We have not worked out the Playmaker budget yet to be able to fly us out to Vegas.
Just check the budget. We can't do that.
Eventually we will. We've got some great stats we want to get to today. Mm-hmm. Seth and I want to talk about the Bobby Witt Jr. contract that just broke.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things. But what do you guys want to talk about? Let's find out. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I want Here Comes the Boom.
Oh, there you go. You got it. You deserve it, man. How did you enjoy the game Friday?
I thought they just like how Coach Paul talks about it. He wants them to start out fast and aggressive. And they scored those two goals within a minute and a half into the game.
Yeah.
I felt that. I'm not really, in the rules, I'm still learning hockey a little bit more now that we have the River Kings and more hockey. I felt that some of the calls that they made were touchy. But otherwise, it was a pretty good game. I got pretty physical there. It's some hard hitting in the third period. So I kind of figured Saturday's game was going to be pretty chippy. And I didn't get a chance to go to Saturday's game, but some people said it got chippy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one thing with hockey, some of these guys, I kind of laughed at some of these guys react. I think some of the penalties that the River Kings got on Friday night were retaliation hits. Not a good thing to do. If they're gonna catch them. But that's just how the hockey players are wired. Someone's going to give you a cheap shot or hit you with a stick the wrong way, and they're going to go after them. But excellent game.
My dad had a game when I was a kid that I watched. That there was this guy who was a goon, and that's all his job was out there. And my dad happened to be having a really great stretch. And this guy wouldn't leave him alone. He was literally clipping at his heels every shift he had on the ice. And to the point where he got my dad pretty good, and the guy got a 5-minute major. And I thought as soon as the move happened, the guy shifted and knocked my dad down, my dad was going to pop up and start popping him. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure that was going to happen. He didn't. And I'd never seen my father do that before. And come to find out that was the whole plan of that game was to just let that guy wear himself out. I'm focusing on my dad while my dad was assisting the other wing in the center, hitting them up and everything. If you let somebody, so he does all that, and I'm like, well, Dad, you didn't get your hit on this guy. You didn't get a lot of the things that I know you do in a boxing ring or something like that. He's like, Jimmy, winning was my revenge. I won. Our team won. Mm-hmm. All that and everything. I actually think that's the best dating advice I've ever been given. You can go ahead and wish your ex all this stuff and all those things. Moving on.
Have a good life.
That is the great revenge. That is true winning. That's the case in sports, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta let that stuff go.
And that was one of the things that I sit back. Because I used to coach some little people. Like in Little League and things like that, or helped out with football. It's like, the second person's always going to get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially in football. If the guy's going to try to give you a cheap shot and elbow you, or pull on your face mask, let them, because eventually they're going to get caught.
Here's a poll question. We know how most of that usually goes from high school sports to the pros. But here's a poll question for everybody, and it only comes up because we got great listeners. I wouldn't have even thought of this if it wasn't for you, man. What is the dumbest thing you can do in sports? And to me, It's guy hits home run off you, guy comes up to bat, you nail guy with ball.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so my great revenge against this guy is to put him back on base. Yeah, that's a great, real great strategy. If you needed any other definition of dumb testosterone and how testosterone can make our brains not work right, like, there you go. Who was the guy who came up with that? They thought this was a genius idea. Right. That's true, like, not only machismo, but a strategic idea. In the most strategic of all sports, you're going to do something like that.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, that's considered the unwritten rule in baseball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he shows off on you. You know, if he stands there and looks at the pitch. You know, you don't throw at the next guy. You wait till that guy comes up, and then you put one.
You put one down the plate that he can't hit.
Yeah.
You put one. How about you do your job?
Yeah.
Your job is not to hit the guy with a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
That's childish. That's acting like a child. That's not sports. That's not strategy. That's
I wasn't saying hit them. I just
No. I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm getting angry about the situation. I know you're not. But the situation bugs me because I love baseball, and I think that these kind of things, like, little kids see that, and then little kids
mm-hmm.
take that lesson to other things in life,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't make a dang bit of sense. Like, it's not only an archaic way of approaching the game. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. You don't have to hate logistics or data or numbers or anything to understand that
mm-hmm.
striking a guy out or doing your best to is the odds are better of that than just putting him right on base.
Well, it's the same in hockey, though. You know you're going to get checked.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're close to that wall, someone's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Why go after him and cross-check him right in front of the referee?
Oh, yeah. That's why in hockey right now, it used to be when we were kids, you could point to every team and say, that's the goon.
Yeah.
That's the guy. That's the minutes
here. The quote-unquote enforcer. Yeah.
There were goons.
Yeah.
There's like 3-4 in the league now.
Yeah.
There's nobody like that anymore. They've completely X'd that out of hockey, and look at how much better the sport has been for
mm-hmm.
it. I like fighting. It's in boxing. I like seeing it there. That's where I choose to see my fighting.
Right.
I'd rather see it there than in, I don't know, a match where it's... And you've never seen a great fight. Like, in
mm-hmm.
hockey, maybe every once in a while. But baseball, it's usually like a lopsided fight. It's usually Nolan Ryan whooping Robin Ventura's, skull in or something.
Wait a minute. You have to rewatch that.
Yeah.
Be a Robin Ventura truther.
How many haymakers do they throw there in baseball?
Yeah.
It's usually just a shoving match.
Half the time they don't land. The best is NBA fights. The best fights are NBA fights. It is two cats fighting each other. It is literally like just two slapping. Just two bad mamma jammas just, you know, tatted up and big and built, all get out and everything, talking trash like you wouldn't believe, and then they get right in front of each other. Stop it. No, you stop it. Stop.
Yeah, two little kids,
It's the same, though, in football, too.
Yes.
What's that going to do?
No.
You're going to break your fingers, and you'll slap them in the helmet with your hand.
I'll never forget Andre Rison and Deion Sanders, two of my favorites. I loved watching those guys play up until the point I saw them fighting, and I think it was Andre it was one of them threw a punch and hit the other guy in the helmet. It was I never looked at him the same, I got to be honest. I don't know if that's really, it doesn't seem like an intelligent move. As far as Super Bowl thoughts, what's on your mind with the game? I know that a lot, not everybody is very jacked about it, but now we are here less than a week away. It's the big game. It's the last football game. It's the last game that matters on the calendar for this year. What are your feelings on this one?
So the only person I really truly like that's playing or I shouldn't say they're not really playing, they're coaching. I mean, both Andy Reid and I can't even think of the other guy's name.
Spagnuolo or
Shanahan.
No. Oh, Shanahan.
Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan.
Those guys are likable coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Either one, if they win, I mean, it's kind of nice to see Andy Reid win back-to-back because they haven't done it since, 06 with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But, and maybe even for having the Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy in there, but I mean, both coaches I think deserve it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they've both coached, you know, especially Andy Reid has how Kansas City struggled throughout the year, how he kind of brought it together with a coach, with his coaching staff. And, you know, I guess I don't care. Just as long as we don't see Taylor Swift on TV, hopefully her jet breaks down and doesn't make it from Tokyo, you know.
There's a prop bet for you. over, under, how many times we see Taylor Swift. That's a good. I think we're all kind of hoping, too, that this is a little bit like a movie that you don't have the greatest of expectations for, but surprises you. Mm. And like, oh, actually, that was a really good game. That was a really good movie, or something like that. I know that's how I'm going into it. And there is something about seeing legendary players in the biggest games there are. Mm. And whether you like Patrick Mahomes or not, I think about this a lot when it comes to football. I don't know what the greatest Super Bowl performance I've ever seen is, but I know one of the greatest losing performance I've ever seen is Mahomes in that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. That kid was doing things that blew my mind, and are some of the greatest plays I've ever seen for the losing team, and sometimes were incompletions. And I was glad to be watching. I was thankful that I'm alive in a time where I get to see this young man do what he does. I love football. So I will watch the game, not just for storylines or just to necessarily see my team win. But that's also being a Chicago fan, and you just kind of get numb to these things and expect your team not to be relevant. So you just kind of, you know, you find other things to enjoy about the game. Otherwise, you have to give up the game.
Yep. Yeah, you'd have to, yeah.
You know, just stop watching. real quick, before I let you go, we were going to talk about the new defensive coordinator signed by the Packers. What are your thoughts on that one? You said you wanted to play for this guy.
Just when they were talking about it on Friday on one of the other sports talks, and I was like, boy, after hearing what he said, it's like, I want to play for this guy. I mean, he made comments of, I'm not going to sit there and scream at you. I'm not going to get in your face. I'm going to use this moment as a teaching moment, especially in practice. If you missed a tackle or missed the interception, he goes, I'm going to use it more as a teaching moment, you're terrible. You're going to be on the bench for the rest of the year type, you know. I think it'd be kind of interesting to see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's more of a defensive back coach, so he's hopefully our defensive backfield is going to be able to catch a ball and catch it, you know, get more than one interception a year.
He's a real Joey Gallo kind of person, where he's all or nothing. He's going to get you a home run, or he's going to strike out. He's going to get you a pick. Yeah. He's going to get you a sack. He's going to get a turnover, or he's going to give up a first down.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of looking at it, too. And I'm just hoping that, I mean, he works with the strengths that he has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Goody has done a pretty good job with, you know, getting Joe those draft picks, but I don't think he knew how to manage the talent. Now, hopefully this guy's going to come in. I mean, they really don't in this year's draft. They don't, except for maybe getting a tackle. I mean, they really, and maybe another running back, they really don't need much on the offensive side. So if they go defense strong in this draft, I don't think it's going to really hurt Green Bay.
Outside of offensive line, I completely agree. I think you always grab linemen on both sides of the ball, no matter what the draft, no matter what your team looks like. But I completely agree. I think that, and with this guy too, one of the things that I find encouraging that I haven't heard anybody touching on. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about him giving up a head coaching job in college to come be an assistant in the NFL. And I think the smart people can connect the dots. Oh, this guy wants to be an NFL coach one day. This is the quickest way to do that. Mm-hmm. But I also see some smarts on the other side of the game with the Packers doing this. Whoever made the call, whether it was LaFleur or it was Gutekunst or both of them, whatever, you got a young defense. Most of these kids were just on a college campus.
Not that long ago.
Bringing on a guy who just spent the last couple of years with college kids, understanding that. Like, part of the reason he left was because he didn't want to deal with college kids. You know, so don't get me wrong there. But he's not dealing with them on that level. He's not recruiting them. He's not trying to get them to give up going to Miami or some other ACC team to come play for BC.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's already got them.
Mm-hmm.
All he's got to do is, hey, guys, do your thing. Like, I'm not going to beat you into the ground. I'm not one of those old school coaches, because If you haven't noticed, even the greatest of all time can't get a job anymore because he's one of those coaches. Yeah. That's one of the biggest reasons. If you ever needed another example of the evolution changing in all of coaching.
Times are changing. Yeah.
There you go. There it is.
Yep.
But everything to me right now goes in the positive with this guy and with this hire. Is he a flashy name? Is he a big name? No. But all these other things check mark. And if I'm a Green Bay fan, I'm hopeful. I feel pretty positive about it.
Yeah, if you see some of the social media stuff out there, it didn't seem like anybody was really cutting on the guy.
Yeah,
you'll see people wondering now. Okay, this was AJ Dillon's coach. I think he coached AJ.
Yeah.
His first year head coach. It was AJ's last year. Does AJ want to take a pay cut and say I want to stay and play because he's here now? Or I mean, I don't know Green Bay. Yeah. I think Green Bay is going to cut him loose, but. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, look, you're not going to find quads like that in many places. AJ Dillon's got some great, he's got some thoroughbred legs and everything. But unfortunately, as we've seen with running backs, they're interchangeable for a lot of the time. Yeah. A lot of the time. There's only a couple of Derrick Henrys out there. There's only a couple of guys that are like that. And you got to keep Aaron Jones. You've got to make that work. You have to have a strong running game in a Matt LaFleur offense, and Jordan Love's greatest asset right now is a great running game. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you got to do, you've got to keep that backfield stocked.
Right. And that's why I think that they're going to look at, unless they can pick up a free agent at a cheap cost, but I think that's what they're going to look at maybe later on in the draft. I hope they maybe get that running back.
It is a really thin draft at running back.
Oof,
At running back. I don't know the last time I've seen this thin of a draft as somebody who is a nerd about the drafts and watches and pays as much attention as I should. When I've got loved ones that miss me, but I can't help myself. I think that you're right, though. I think that they're going to have to pick somebody, probably a free agent, probably somebody like that, second, third year guy or something. Feel like we always keep
you.
Go ahead.
You get some of those people that asking, they're saying that they should go, try to wait in the draft because he might be there as Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. I don't think he's a good running back, but I don't know if he's going to make it. Who knows?
I'm pulling for him, but I know it's weird to think that we're saying that just a year or two away from, I thought he was a second round pick. I thought he had a chance to be at least.
I think the big thing now is for any running back at this point, can he catch a pass?
Yep.
It doesn't matter what he does from scrimmage. I mean, as long as he can catch a pass here and there, he'll have use somewhere.
Catch a pass and pick up the blitz.
There you go. Yeah. Do some blocking. Yeah.
Appreciate the call, man.
All right. All right, guys. You guys have a great week, and hopefully, maybe on Friday we get to hear all the prop bets out there.
Yeah. We'll have them. We'll have them for you. Thank you, man. Have a great week. Have a great week, brother. Thank you. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Ooh. Got a couple of stats. Stat of the shows. We got for you. We'll also talk a little River Kings coming up here. Got some fun things lined up for you. Want to get into. And Seth, as long as we're talking football here a little bit, and the big game. Well, as a side note, we will say that on Wednesday's show, or maybe Friday's, one of those two morning shows here at WFHR, Melissa and Seth and I will go over prop bets for the Super Bowl, some fun ones that I've come across, and some interesting ones. We'll have some fun with that. But as far as the game goes, the NFL's in an interesting situation where it's their biggest game, and they oftentimes when it's a game that they don't know is going to sell that well, you can tell. There's a lot more commercials than there usually is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more advertising Tostitos and Pepsi and all these other companies. Every commercial has to do with the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in years past. We're not seeing that as much this year. We're not seeing a lot of it because they don't need to. They have Taylor Swift. They know how many people.
Does anyone even care that Usher's doing this?
Halftime
show.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Like the biggest diehard Usher fan. I'm not even sure they know. I'm not even sure. Let's find out what's on your mind before our commercial break. Good afternoon. How's it going?
Not too bad. Yeah.
Good. What's on your mind, sir?
I don't think that Corbin Burns trade is the last trade for the spring. I believe that the Brewers are going to trade away Willie Adames before the season starts.
It's possible.
What were you? A big, He's carried a pretty big contract, and we got just signed a couple shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
And
what were your
Eric?
Yeah, I like the signings too, and got some young signings as well, including I think the number two prospect in baseball.
Yeah, well, that's one of their own guys, but yeah, he's number two. Yeah,
re-signing him up to a longer deal,
the extension. Yeah,
but what were your thoughts on the Corbin Burns trade?
He's been around for a while. Yeah, he's. I don't think it was 100% the greatest one we've ever had, but he's been a thorough, good pitcher. Yes, I think we can probably get some serviceable pitcher for Willie Adames.
Oh yeah. I think you might. I think you have an opportunity to. You know, certainly not gonna. Nobody's thinking you're gonna get an ace, but if you're not going into it looking, you're get another starter, get an innings eater, get somebody like that.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Especially again, the kid I was just referencing is playing short, I believe. So.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but yeah,
Willie Adames outside of an all-star season, and even then, I don't know. His days.
He had a brutal first half of the year last year, and. Yeah. He picked it up later, but oof, that was rough.
And we got Joey Ortiz.
Yeah.
Trade with Baltimore. We got, of course, Eric Brown Jr. was a 2022 first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a third shortstop, and he should be getting ready pretty soon to come up.
Yeah.
We got Christian Arroyo.
The trade for the they got in return along with the 34th pick in the 2024 draft, they got Joey Ortiz, their infielder, who could play short, like you're saying, sir. That's a great mention there. And left-hander D.L. Hall. Just for those that didn't hear the details of the trade or maybe not even heard the Corbin Burns trade happened. it just seemed to happen very, very low-key and everything. But a huge trade.
Yeah.
It doesn't signal the end, though. To me, it doesn't seem like a rebuilding trade.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't seem like
me. No, I don't think they're get a couple of spot people here and there to help them out through the rest of the season. Yeah.
And this Ortiz, it's just watching his highlights and looking at his box scores and everything. He's a hitter. That's one of the biggest things you need in Milwaukee right now is hits.
I don't think if you're in rebuild, you sign Rhys Hoskins.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think you sign him up if you're total rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. I think you still think you're in the hunt. Well, especially with the National League Central, which is a weak division. I mean, they've still got a chance to win it. So
yeah.
Bryce Terrain is a shortstop, and they've been playing him at third and second, and he's been doing a great job at second. But I think he can take over for a shortstop without a hitch at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is a major ready shortstop. I'm sure he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Agreed. Always good to talk to you, sir. You have a great day.
Ooh, baseball must be coming up.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's baseball season, all right. As we're going to go to break here, I got one of our stat of the shows for you. Now, I got two of them for you, but I'm bringing back one just because a listener didn't get the whole stat.
Okay.
As far as the NFC Championship game, only two teams have not made it to the NFC Championship game in the last 25 years, Washington and Dallas. Just hilarious. Just one of the to our Dallas Cowboy fans out there listening.
Oh boy!
Now this one was pretty good, and this comes to us actually from Mike Schur, who, for those who don't know, one of the creators of Parks and Recs and of The Office, has worked on a lot of those. Huge baseball fan, huge sports fan. Heard him the other day giving this stat. Last month, Devin Booker scored 204 points in four road games. Only other player to ever do that was Wilt Chamberlain.
Of course.
He did it 24 times.
Okay, there's basketball stats, and then there's Wilt stats.
Yeah,
I mean, totally different. He was on his own planet, man.
If you're ever playing sports trivia and basketball questions come up and you don't know the answer,
just say Wilt.
Just say Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep, you got it.
You should be somewhere in the ballpark. You should be all right. We will take a timeout. We'll be back, and we're going to talk a little more stats. We're going to talk River Kings, and we want to talk to you. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. 715-424-2600, listening to us on the Civic Media app. app. Thank you. And keep on, and just you're two touches away to calling us up right here on Playmakers at WFHR. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's No Joke. A big announcement naming Radetzky's No Joke Dairy near Stratford as a future host of the state's Farm Technology Days.
Technology sharing, celebration of agriculture.
Matt Lippert with the UW Division of Extension. He says the Radetzky Farm is operated by the family's fifth generation and looks forward to opening their doors to the public.
Certainly an honor. Family success and modernization and history and pride in what they're doing. So yeah, it's a very fun event.
An event that moves to a different part of the state every year.
Other states also have similar events, but ours is one of the very few that actually does rotate. Goes to different counties, so obviously different host farms.
It could bring more than 40,000 people to the central Wisconsin area in the summer of 2026. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, all right, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us. So we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 49.
Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James on the mics for you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Get your all your printing needs over there. Buy local, support local, visit our friends over at Quality Plus Printing.
Mm-hmm.
And be listening to the morning show here at WFHR, 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. On Wednesdays, we got our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
It's wicked awesome.
With our friend Phil Hartley. Be sure to join us for that. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
Well, I heard you're doing stats today, and I got a couple.
Yeah.
I like you had the baseball one. I heard a couple good ones. I wrote them down. Mm. The first one is kind of, it's not as funny as the second, but Ichiro, on his first 10 at-bats, he waited until his 10th at-bat, got his third hit, and his average never dropped lower than 300 in his career.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Wow. That is a heck of a stat.
That's incredible.
Only Ichiro, man. Only Ichiro.
Wow.
I love Ichiro.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
I'm lucky my headphones are on because my mind just blown up.
Okay, I got a fun one for you guys. Pitcher Bartolo Colon, in his career, at bat, he swung at 610 pitches, and his helmet only stayed on 27 times. It's actually a Major League Baseball record.
Oh, I love it.
That's so good.
Oh, big sexy. Man, he was something else.
He's still playing.
He's still pitching somewhere. Yeah, he's 50 years old, and he's pitching somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere. Somewhere that they speak a lot of Spanish.
Yes,
he's definitely still pitching.
Yeah. Okay, I got an interesting – it's a fact. This Super Bowl is kind of interesting because it's probably the first time this happened, but father and – well, Mike Shanahan coached Ed McCaffrey, and
and his son is coaching Christian McCaffrey. Interesting. That isn't. I didn't think of
that. Is that like the first time that's happened? Like a father-son and father-son?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Shanahan coached McCaffrey, and another Shanahan is coaching the kids are
Coaching, yes. The wild. Kid player. Wow, that's crazy.
That is wild. That is interesting. It also shows how much that we reuse these last names. I saw over the weekend Ashula got a defensive coaching job. And he's a good coach and everything, but yeah, he's Ashula.
He's Ashula. I mean, come on.
You know, that's the name. That's NFL royalty.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch any of the Pro Bowl games at all?
No.
No, I did not. I did not get to see any of it. I wanted to. I actually did want to watch some of it and was not able to. Did you?
I caught a few of the competitions, and some of them were kind of funny, and some of them just were awkward.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
That's funny. My dad said sad. My dad said one of them was sad. I didn't get to ask him which one it was, but he's like, it's kind of sad. I've never heard NFL players outside of Bears fans. I've never heard anybody refer to NFL players as sad.
Every year, they have to pick a different sport and play that instead. Yeah. One, your basketball. The hockey one would be hilarious.
Yes.
But yeah, baseball.
Yeah.
Hey,
That's all the facts I got for it. And my walk-up song would have to be Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Perfect.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. Yeah. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Oh, that felt good. I could hear it.
They got to play the video, though, too.
So good.
The song needs the video on that one.
Appreciate you, man. You have a great day. A good week.
Yeah, you as well. Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday, man. Always good to talk to you. Best listeners in radio. What a good time. That's a great stat. I would not know that without that. Without him calling up and telling us, I wouldn't know that. That is awesome.
That's one of the great things of the era we live in now. You get stats for everything, man. You can look anything up you want.
I don't know if there are anybody that has better fun stats than baseball, especially with how many thousands and thousands there are on just one player or one game, let alone in the history of the sport, and looking at the fact that it's probably the oldest of the four major sports that we still have stats
organized. I think it's the oldest.
Organized,
yeah.
Yes. But we go to college football, and a stat that I imagine by now most people have heard, but if you haven't, it is fascinating. An Alabama draft pick has never scored in the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah.
What? Really?
If you graduated, your last collegiate game was for the Alabama Crimson Tide, you have not scored a Super Bowl touchdown. You may have played in the Super Bowl, but you haven't scored in the Super Bowl. Some people have brought up Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts graduated, played at Alabama, then transferred to Oklahoma, graduated at Oklahoma.
Yes, and drafted from Oklahoma, not Alabama. Right. Yeah.
But in the last 20 years, there is no football. If you were the parent of a college football player, outside of your loyalties to your home teams and stuff, you want your kid to play for Alabama. You know the product.
Storied history, all that stuff.
They're
going
to be competing for national championships. They're going to have a chance to get drafted. They're going to have chances to be seen, et cetera, et cetera. Nick Saban, all that stuff. How hidden has this stat been?
Wow.
How has this stat stayed hidden this long? I think it's not saying we've never heard it before, but it's so promoted right now. It's being so talked about right now. And I find that really interesting. That's not only really interesting, the stat itself, but the way that Nick Saban, kudos, sir. Kudos. Because that's something that especially when it's so neck and neck. So many of these kids, there's a reason they got multiple hats up there on signing day and everything. Not only are they teenagers that change their mind literally at the drop of a hat, literally at the dropping of the hat, but also the fact that, the NIL and some of these other things can change stuff. So, just wild stat.
And the sheer number of Alabama alum that have played in the NFL is staggering. You know, I don't know, I'm guessing they don't have the number in there, but it's got to be one of the top schools ever to produce NFL players.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
They have tons of records as far as number one picks in the first round, number one top five picks, and these kind of things. If I'm a young man and I'm deciding between Alabama and X, these kind of things can be the difference maker sometimes.
Right.
Especially with just, a mind that, I'm not saying that every young person is like this, but every young person is like this. We all were.
Yeah, it's true.
And
But still, it's crazy.
Continuing with the numbers, Seth, let's talk a little baseball.
Okay.
And we'll get to River Kings in a moment. I wanted to get to the Bobby Witt Jr. contract and talk about that a little bit with you. So for those that don't know, just a couple of hours ago, Jeff Passan reported Bobby Witt Jr. agreed to an 11-year, $288.8 million deal with the Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a chance to look at this a little bit, some of the numbers?
Yeah. So he's 23 years old. He had his break. For those who don't know, he had a breakout season last year. He hit 30 homers. He stole 49 bases. He's a five tool player. You know, he's going to be, you know, he's supposed to be a really good defensive shortstop as well. He can always move to third too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing. But it's kind of crazy when you look at this, because not only, like James said, it's guaranteed 11 years, but it's if he goes full and the team picks up their options, it's 14 years and $377.7 million with four player opt outs starting in the 2030 season. So every year he can opt out of this if he wants.
Wow.
He also has a full no trade clause, which for a 23-year, I've never heard of that.
I've never
ever
heard of that. Yeah.
Someone that young having a no trade clause in a contract.
Both those things you mentioned there, a contract anywhere 3 to 4 years longer. I've never heard of anybody having opt outs in a year
right.
stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard of a young person or a person who's only been playing in a couple of years have a no trade clause in any sport.
Right.
Any sport. I've never heard of that.
Right. And then the other weird thing is that if he goes through all of those 4 years and doesn't, you know, and comes back, the team then has an option to pick him up, not for just the next year, for 3 years, which again is weird. Usually they would say, you know, we have one option for this year and then do the same thing. You know, next year we have an option. No, if they pick up his option, it is for 3 years guaranteed. So it's not as crazy as the Ohtani contract. That was just bonkers. Yeah. But still, this is really fascinating. And we have seen now in the last couple of weeks, these young players, some who have not played in the majors yet, getting these extensions from their teams because they're betting on, you know, it's the buy low. You know, yes, the players would have a chance if they didn't sign, you know, to make more money down the road. They're looking for more security now.
Yeah.
And the teams are looking, of course, for the better deal, the better bargain, which is why they're doing it. So that's why these contracts, you're going to start seeing, I think, a lot more of them, mostly for the top prospects. But I think you're going to see more of them as we go along here.
We saw in Atlanta. That nucleus in Atlanta, they can they actually are saving money in Atlanta with programs.
Yeesh.
They don't have to change the program for the next four or five seasons.
It's all the same players.
Got them all locked up. And it's a smart move for the printers. No, it's obviously intelligent baseball. And
right.
This is the direction that I think. I actually think that baseball is ahead of the curve on this. Where they're
so to speak.
He's walked into that.
Yeah.
I cannot. where the idea to do this, it's obviously financially smarter. This contract, if you wait a year, let alone 4 or 5 years, that's going to balloon. It's only going to get bigger.
Exactly.
So locking them in now is certainly great with inflation, blah, 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 and all that. The selling of your team, not only to your market, but to other players, that kind of thing. It's money that you can't even put a number on.
You can't put a number on
that PR. You can't do any of that. But it's also smart for the player. The player has one of the things that every single human being on this planet wants. Security.
Mm-hmm. Security. Yep.
Security. I am in a sport that can change at any moment.
You could be injured any moment. Yep.
I could get injured. I could go for an 0-for-40 streak and turn into, oh, God, who's the guy on the Roy Orioles some years ago who was a great hitter, signed the big Chris Davis?
Chris Davis.
Yeah, yeah. You could turn into him in like 5 seconds, you know? I feel like I blinked and Chris Davis turned into what he is now. Like,
right.
It's weird. So, yeah, security, but with the flexibility of, look, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire to keep you accountable, but I'm also showing my loyalty that I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to do both.
Yes.
This is the stuff that you and I were talking about in the pregame a little bit here that I think when I think about a Giannis Antetokounmpo and stuff, and I think about what he was doing, where he obviously, and he's made it very clear how much he loves Milwaukee, how much he wanted to stay in the state and all that. But you only have so much control as an athlete. You want to win. How do I make sure my team cares about winning? Well, all I got is my loyalty.
My leverage, yeah.
My leverage. Yep. That's the only leverage I got is my loyalty. So you got to do those things.
Yep.
If you want to win, and it's so cool to see this, all of this being said, everything we've talked about, contract fascinating, all of that,
yep.
This happening for the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
That fan base deserves that. That's pretty darn cool.
By far their biggest contract ever that they have ever signed with anyone. And the fact that Bobby Witt Jr. came out and said, I want to be a Royal the rest of my life. You know, now, like, you can look at his contract and say, well, why did you put all those player options in there? Well, because things change. You know, who knows? He's smart. He's not going to you know, lock himself in if things aren't going to change. He also wants to win really, really bad.
Yeah.
Something that just occurred to me, too, and it is kind of tied in with the Corbin Burns thing, is that when you sign these guys, then you avoid arbitration and the acrimony that can come from that, which is exactly what happened with Corbin Burns. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, Corbin Burns was not coming back to the Brewers.
Yeah.
He was going to sign somewhere else partially because of that, mm-hmm. partially because they probably wouldn't have been able to afford him. So you have to keep that in mind, too, really with young players. Point. If you sign him through the arbitration period, you don't have to worry about that. And then you can cross that next bridge when you come to it.
Extremely good point, man. Really, really nice point. That's a triple right there. That as a pitch hitter, right, that was a triple.
Not bad.
Looking at these big contracts, the Ohtani contract you mentioned, $700 million over 10 years. Cristiano Ronaldo signed a $536 million deal for only 2.5 years. But what I'm looking at is years. Mahomes, $450 for 10. Mike Trout, $426 for 12.
Mm-hmm.
The Bryce Harper contract.
That was 13 for $330. If I remember correctly,
While we haven't seen a ton of these, we're starting to see more than we've ever seen in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's becoming more and more normalized to see these kind of things. Where I see Bobby, you know, I'm on my way here, and I see the Bobby Witt Jr. News break on my phone, and I'm not doing a double take at those years.
Nope.
I'm like, oh, okay, 10 years. Huh.
Certain players are gonna get there, and at the end of the year last year, the Phillies owner, I can't remember his name, he's like. In the end, I think we got a bargain for Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Considering inflation and all these kinds of things, they're thinking of extending him like a couple of more years, like a 15-year contract.
He kind of told us he was right about this.
Yeah.
He kind of told us he was actually making money on this.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
With what they've been able to do postseason.
Wow, an honest owner. I'm shocked.
Yeah. I got to be honest here, too. And this is just between us friends here and everything. Whenever it comes to a Philadelphia team and somebody mentions the owner, they're all Jeffrey Lurie. It doesn't matter what the team, if you're talking about the Flyers, you're talking about the Eagles, you're talking about any team, any Philadelphia team, I think he's the owner.
He's the owner of everything?
I know he's not, but I can't help it. I do that with teams.
It happens,
It used to be that way with Dallas teams and Jerry Jones.
He owns them all, right? Yeah, he's a Ranger.
With Mark Cuban blowing up. And yeah, when we were kids, George Bush Jr. owning
the Rangers. Yeah, right.
So some of that. let's take a look at some River Kings here, and I haven't gotten a chance to look at the standings. Let me go ahead and pull those up, and second place! Your second place, Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Just a couple of points back from Hudson, just about 4 points back.
Man.
Let's go over the two games over the weekend, Seth. First off, let's let people know, and let them look a little behind the curtain here, if you don't mind, about what we had happen with our games on WIRI this week.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, we got a notification from the staff over at the River Kings saying, for whatever reason, they were not able to get us the feed for the games. And so that is why we were unable to play the games on WIRI this last weekend. So we do apologize for that, of course. And hopefully this week, it is the last home series this weekend. So we should hopefully be able to carry those on WIRI.
Thanks, man. River Kings on a Friday, victorious with a 4-3 final win in OT.
Nice.
A nice one.
They finally won an OT.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I mixed that up. 4-2 victory on Friday.
Oh, okay.
4-2 victory on Friday. And Saturday, 4-3 loss in overtime.
Okay.
I apologize.
I was going to say, they have such a hard time in overtime.
Yeah.
Oh, they've had a rough season with overtime. But.
It really has.
Yeah.
And on that Friday game, which us and some of our staff were at, it was great to be at the rink. We plan on being there a lot more, not only this season, but going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to be down there more. We're kind of figuring out where we're going to set up and a lot of that, and talking with coach.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put as a side note, because it does not have this in the box score, but anybody at the game would have known this. Coach Paul had a defensive strategy for this game that I don't get to see in a lot of coaches, especially at this level. He looked so dang good that the other team was distracted. That man was styling. He looked dang good. Coach Paul looked good. Did great suit. See, man was ready.
You gotta look good, man. Let's be a coach.
Yeah, you look good over there. Yeah. It's not the box score. I don't know why. It should be in there. But a nice game by the Kings on Friday, 4-2 victory. A couple of interesting things from that game. Actually shot less on goal than Minnesota did.
Oh, wow.
Than Blue Ox did. So that was kind of interesting
there.
Yeah. And I bring that up in part because of the Saturday game, which, again, a loss in OT, 4-3 to the Minnesota Blue Ox. Thankfully for us, Hudson also lost on Saturday.
Oh, good.
So not really losing too
keeping
much.
Keeping pace. Yep.
Yeah, keeping pace with him and everything. The shots on goal for that Saturday game, the Minnesota 33 shots on goal. That's pretty average, especially in the USPHL. You're going to see 30 to 35. For the River Kings, 57.
57?
57 shots on goal.
Oh, that's bad luck. That's got to be some bad luck. Because usually if you're doing 50, boy, they should have had like 5-6 goals off that. Yeah, wow. Just by luck alone, like bounces. Yeah.
And I bring that up in part because a lot of the time, not a lot of the time, in general, that's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Seth is 1,000% right, and even if you don't know anything about sports, if you know math, you know
exactly.
It's just statistically.
Those are the odds, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you got 3 goals on 57 shots, that's not going to happen very often.
Now, no,
granted,
it's not.
You're not going to get 57 shots a night.
No.
But if you're going to get plus 40 or something like that, like the Kings are known to do, I like our odds in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
When the nerves get a little tighter, the ice gets a little sharper, and the wit gets stronger, I like our chances in these playoffs, man. Mm-hmm. And I really truly feel like this team, even going back before Christmas, has been playing playoff hockey. Coach was telling us that off air. And he was right about it. These kids, they're ready to go. They want this. Some of these guys remember last year. And they're still feeling it. They're still hanging on to it and everything. The great motivator.
Absolutely.
Help our Kings build hockey up and down the river. Go to riverkingshockey.com. Get your tickets. And as Seth told us just a little bit ago, we've got just a couple of more home games left.
Yes.
For the River Kings for this season.
Just for the regular season.
For the regular season.
We'll just put that out there. Yeah.
Yes, for the regular season. I'm looking forward to these games this weekend against the Isetani Outlaws. Going on Friday, Saturday.
Oh, that's Isanti, by the way.
Isanti. Yes. I always do that. Thank you. Isanti Outlaws. Those games this weekend. Get your tickets for River Kings Hockey at riverkingshockey.com. We'll talk more Kings throughout the week here on our shows. And be sure to catch those home games right on our sister station, WIRI, Wiz Country, 105.5 WIRI. We'll be back with more coming up.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race now.
No path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy with some areas of fog tonight and lows in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds and possible record highs tomorrow in the low 50s. And staying around 50, mostly cloudy and breezy Wednesday. A pattern shift coming for the end of the week. Rain Thursday into Friday, followed by colder temps. Currently 49 degrees.
Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. We're going to talk in sports. Call up and join the conversation, 424-2600, 424-2600. Did want to mention just a couple of quick notes about our schedule and our rafters. The rafters announced that they're a new play-by-play team for radio and TV. They are going to be having, for the upcoming season, Andy Jockum and Khalil Kupor are going to be bringing a wealth of experience and passion for baseball to our radio waves. Looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Andy, I've heard a little bit already. I think you guys are going to really like what he does. And Khalil has got a great voice, a really good voice for this.
Cool.
I'm excited for these guys.
I love that. That's one of the cool things every year. We get to just break in a new announcer. That's always fun.
We're looking forward to that, and you can find out more and get your tickets for Rafters baseball and everything Rafters related at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. Here on these radio waves, a little bit later at 6:05, the Greg Gard Show. Be sure to join us for that. Going to be interesting to hear what Coach has to say over the past weekend's games.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, right here on WFHR, I have yet to get this. This is yet to get old to me. Bucks basketball, baby.
You know it.
It's a ball night tomorrow night, everybody, because Milwaukee's going at Phoenix.
Ooh. It's a good matchup.
Taking on their big three. That's going to be interesting. And every game matters so much for this Bucks team.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much wins and losses. I'm not as worried about that as some people are. I want to see chemistry. I want to see them listening to Doc. I want to see them
executing
and playing some defense
for once, please.
Play some defense. My God.
Although to be fair to the Bucks, does anyone play defense in the NBA
That's a fair enough point. Yeah.
Anybody play defense?
I will say this. I completely agree with you. 100% agree with you. What I will say though, whoever wins the NBA championship is going to be in the top five on defense. Like, I almost guarantee that they'll be a top five defensive team. In fact, I'll even go as far as say the two teams in the NBA Finals will be in the top 10 to the top five in defense.
Nice.
Nobody wins championships without it. I actually think it's truer in basketball than it is in football. The defense wins championships.
Honestly,
and in baseball, maybe even.
I would say, actually, personally, and this would be, because I'm bringing up with 5 minutes left, of course, this would be an interesting debate. Is defense as important in football as it was in the past? I would say it's not.
Yeah.
I would say offense is the new defense, but that's for another show.
Yeah.
But I think you're right about the NBA, because look at where, I mean, these scores of these games are insane. I mean, it's just running back and forth. No, they're not even playing defense anymore. They're just letting him run back and forth.
And it's not. It isn't as if I don't think that players can play defense or want to play defense. I don't think that's the case. These guys are so dang good now.
I'm telling you.
It used to be back in the day. Okay, I can guard. I only got to guard him from the top of the key. Okay, he's an outside shooter. So once he gets inside, I know he's probably going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. Oh, this is a big guy. I only got to guard him inside the lane. I can let him take his time coming down the court, all that. Nowadays, every single one of these guys, you've got a guy like Robin Lopez, who is not a household name or anything like that necessarily, who worked on his game in the offseason a couple of years ago, and now you got to worry about him from the top of the key. Like, the game has changed in that regard of, like, where you guard, how you guard. And the rule changes from Michael going on forward have been very much centered towards offense and everything. I think that there's still defense. It's just it's hard to stop a moving train.
I do think that when they start figuring out the analytics on some of this stuff, they're going to start coming up with some defenses. I think there's going to be some schemes that they're going to figure out how to stop some of this. If they want to, big thing. Yeah. Do you actually want to do that? Or do you want to score 300 points in a game? You know, is that what we're headed to? Okay.
So far, the NBA has to be incentivized to do that. And we'll see if the ratings change that. Because ratings in sports in general right now are another one of those hour-long conversations you and I could have of like where that's going with streaming and numbers being down in almost all the major sports and a lot of these like balloon contracts. That we used to see, you don't see because that TV money isn't there anymore, and the people are scared of that.
How about the rise of women's sports?
Yeah.
Which is seeming to fill in some of those gaps in there, which is really fascinating. Yeah.
With Angel and Caitlin, these two great young college female athletes, they're doing something right now that could be on the level, and you can make fun of me if you want, but go ahead and replay this 5-10 years from now, on the level of Magic and Bird. It could be it on that level way. On the female side mm-hmm. where people are watching WNBA games 2-3 years from now because they want to see these two play face off. It's such a cool thing to be able to see happening for not just somebody who loves basketball, let alone if you like women's athletics.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. I know a lot of the talk for like Caitlin Clark is like, oh, she's going to take a big pay cut. She still is going to have all her endorsements, everybody.
Yeah.
She's probably going to have more. Yeah, I think she'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think she'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think she'll manage.
Yes.
Next Monday, I'm not sure if it'll be Seth and I or not, but I do know that one of the things I want to talk about is the playing field. The 49ers came out today and talked about how they're displeased with the playing field that they're going to be playing on in Las Vegas. I want to see after the game if that came into play.
Okay.
And I want to talk about the NFL going forward with this. We've talked about it with Aaron Rodgers' injury and every one of these teams being actually caring about the field.
Mm.
Are they going to make a difference on that?
Nice
the owners'
debate,
meetings
yeah.
are coming up and everything. I don't want that topic to get lost.
That's a good point.
It got kind of lost and we didn't talk about it anymore. I don't want that to go away because I think it's one of the most important rules changes you could have in football. And if you like football, you care about football, this is one of the biggest rule changes they're going to ever have. Is making these owners have to have good fields, which is one of the dumbest sentences I've ever said in my life. But asking these guys to have to do, they should just want to do it.
Yeah, well, the track record with owners and player safety is abysmal.
Yeah.
And they have to be forced to do it. So that's what's coming up next.
I think it'll be an interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
We'll be talking about it more on next week's Playmakers. A big shout out to the best listeners in radio.
Yeah.
Man, do I mean that. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the stats today and for the great conversation.
Good stuff.
Big shout out to Seth for pitch hitting today. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate
it was fun,
you for doing
man.
That.
It was fun.
And keep on listening, everybody. Good stuff on our radio. Like I said a little earlier, Greg Gard show coming up at 6:05. Bucks basketball tomorrow at 8:30. Milwaukee versus Phoenix. And then on Wednesday, Badger men's basketball at Michigan. Should be a good one right there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.